Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at holidayinn.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ultimate Podcast. My name is Chris McGlynn, host of the show. Back from their episode. Tons to be talking about right now. We are right in the heart of the club season. Elite Select Challenge just wrapped up, talking about all of the major results from that tournament. A crazy weekend out in Rockford. I'm also going to give an early preview of the Pro Championships coming up in Philadelphia, Labor Day weekend. So stay tuned for that. Quick AUDL recap coming up as well, talking about the new champions. And then an update on the Eurostars Tour, which is going on right now. So we're going to be talking about some of the results we've seen so far and what's left of the Eurostars Tour going forward. However, we also have a great guest coming up on today's show, Carolyn Normile joining the show, talking about joining DC Scandal this year after playing for Philadelphia Amp and winning a national championship last year. Also going to be discussing some of her amazing experiences playing College Ultimate, as well as just some of the great things that she's managed to accomplish already in her young career playing the sport. So definitely stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. Very excited to be talking to Carolyn. First, though, let's dive into the club division. There is a tremendous amount to break down from Elite Select Challenge. It was a chaotic weekend out in Rockford, Illinois. Between the lightning delays, the windy day on Sunday, and the ridiculous results across the board, the women's and the mixed division had some of the wackiest results that we've probably seen all club season long. In the women's division, I very much expected to see Raleigh Phoenix making it to the finals of this tournament and probably winning it all. They were, in my mind, kind of head and shoulders above everybody else who was going out to compete. However, they were upset in the semifinals by San Diego Wildfire. Wildfire advancing to the final and coming up just short against Boston Siege, who's in the midst of a great season, having one of the best seasons that I've seen from Siege in quite some time. So expect them to be a Nationals team this year based on how they are playing. Also, shout out to New York Bent, picking up a couple of really solid wins and making a semifinals run of their own after a tough select flight invite. So bouncing back in a big way and putting themselves right into the bid picture. In the mixed division, believe it or not, it was probably crazier than even what happened in the women's division. Weird won Pool A, and that was weird, to make it as punny as possible. But genuinely, yes, this was a bit of a shock. Expected to see Denver Love Tractor come out and dominate throughout the course of this tournament. Instead, Love Tractor actually missed out in the quarterfinals, losing in pre-quarters, went 1-2 in pool play. Just overall, a bit of a shock to the system. Nobody anticipated Love Tractor missing out and performing this poorly at Elite Select Challenge. And then on top of that, we had, of course, because these two teams love to be able to travel hundreds of miles to then go play against their crosstown rival, we had an all-Boston final, Boston Wild Card facing off with Boston Slow White. In the end, Wild Card coming out on top and getting the early edge in that rivalry that takes place every single year, one of the best rivalries in the mixed division. So, again, it's hard to say exactly what all these results mean in terms of who's going to do what at Nationals, but it's important to the seeding at Nationals and, in the case of Wildcard and Slow White, at Regionals. So definitely somebody to keep an eye on. Significant results across the board. In the men's division, not quite as chaotic. Definitely a little bit more of what we expected. The one seed won the tournament, so that definitely lends some consistency to the whole thing. Condors taking home the trophy, holding off Johnny Bravo. Bravo, after maybe a little bit of a up and down beginning of the season, looking strong, making a run to the finals, and coming close. A Universe Point win for Condors in this situation. So Bravo right there and very close to knocking them off. Overall, though, a great weekend of Ultimate. A ton of fun to watch, and always great to see this tournament. One of my personal favorites. I've really enjoyed watching it over the years, and certainly one that I'll continue to enjoy into the future. Before we get to pro championships, one last thing to note. Out in the Northwest, we had the Northwest Fruit Bowl, which is a top tournament for a lot of mixed teams of the West Coast, specifically up in the Northwest. So we had a bunch of different Seattle-based teams, a couple of teams from Portland. Also picked up Montana Moondog, Dallas Public Enemy, and as well as the Chad Larson Experience. So tons of teams going out there and competing at this tournament. And some big results for both Public Enemy and for Chad Larson Experience. They both made semifinals run, picked up quality wins, but in the end, we had another all-Seattle final. However, we saw Seattle BFG come out on top. Mixtape has had a great start to their season so far, going on to win the Pro League Challenge and reach the finals of the U.S. Open. Overall, though, this is big. You know, I have to say, I think this is pretty significant. BFG definitely gets some confidence from this, knowing now that they have the capability of beating Mixtape. It, again, could dictate seeding at regionals. I don't know exactly how that's going to work out quite yet. I'll have to take a look, closer look at Cody Mills' rankings. Definitely recommend, if you're interested at all, of looking at this big picture, go check out frisbee-rankings.com. This is where you're going to get your kind of look at the whole rankings picture. Cody does an excellent job with it, updating it consistently after every tournament, updated through the Elite Select Challenge and through this Northwest Fruit Bowl tournament as well. So all the results are in there. Definitely worth checking out if you're interested in looking at the big picture. And the big picture will be a big topic of discussion heading into these pro championships, because this is going to be where we see two teams that we expected to be well secure in the bids that they had earned at this point. However, we're going to see Chicago Machine in the men's division taking the field and needing to pick up some quality results in order to secure a bid for the Great Lakes. And then we're also going to see Denver Love Tractor coming off of this really, kind of shocking performance at Elite Select Challenge, needing to do work after really kind of squandering the position they were in. It seemed like Love Tractor was pretty secure in earning a bid, and now it definitely becomes a lot more questionable. A good performance at Pro Championships will put all of that to bed and give them the opportunity to rest easy heading into regionals and then potentially nationals as well. So those are the two teams at the kind of the fringe of the bid picture. Overall, though, this tournament's super interesting because it's going to really affect the seeding that we'll see at nationals. We're going to get a ton of top teams across the board. Shout out to the women's division, because there's all 8 Pro Flight teams that will be going to this tournament, the only division where that's happening. I know this has been a point of contention in recent years, and I'm really excited that we get to see all 8 Pro Flight teams on the same field. People call this mini nationals for a reason. It's an opportunity to see the top teams take the field one last time before the series actually starts. It also gives us a really good barometer for how teams are going to do in this series. Keep in mind, obviously, we'll be interested to see how this all works out. Brute Squad in the women's division won pro championships last year, made it to the national championship game, and came very close to winning a national title. Pony won pro championships and made a run all the way. Won a national championship in the men's division. The only one, Dragon Thrust, won in the mixed division last year and didn't have quite the same level of success at nationals coming up. A little short of probably what the expectation was, reaching quarterfinals, but definitely going through a tough path to get there. So overall, though, this is definitely a significant tournament, big barometer for how teams will perform in the series, and then the seeding is going to be determined based on a lot of these results. There's a lot that still will be affected by the outcome of these games. So definitely worth watching. Also, some of the best Ultimate we'll see probably all season. It's certainly a lot of fun. One of my favorite tournaments. I had a chance to go last year. It's in Philadelphia this time around. And when I say in Philadelphia, it's like all those people who say they're from just outside from Philadelphia. It's really like an hour away. But if you're in the area, I highly recommend going to check it out. I had a chance to go, as I said, last year. It was a ton of fun. Great opportunity to watch some super high-level Ultimate over Labor Day weekend. Definitely recommend going to check it out. So if you happen to be in the area, make sure you put that on your calendar for Labor Day weekend. Now, looking to the AUDL, this was kind of the expected result. The New York Empire coming out on top, winning an AUDL championship. That's not to take away anything they did. Great season for Brian Jones and David Blau and this very talented superstar-laden team. Super fun team to watch all season long. I definitely really enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun covering them. with Ian Toner and Brian Kibler on Stall 7, Ulti World's AUDL podcast. So I won't spend a ton of time talking about it on here because I've already done so much talk about it on Stall 7. So if you're interested in learning more about the AUDL season or catching up on some of the stuff that's gone on recently, definitely go check out Stall 7. Obviously, again, I'm biased because I'm part of the show, but you know, it means a lot to me for anybody who's going to willing to go to support it and you know, give it a listen. I also think there's some pretty good content on there, so definitely worth checking out if you're a fan of the AUDL. Switching gears now to the Eurostars Tour. This has been a super fun thing to watch so far. The Eurostars Tour, for those who are unfamiliar, is a European all-star team, 16 players from 12 countries taking the U.S., and they actually go on a tour across the whole country playing elite women's teams. It has been so much fun to watch. Some great results so far, too, for the Eurostars. Picking up 3 wins so far, beating San Diego Wildfire, Seattle Riot, the defending world champions, and then San Francisco Fury, the defending national champions. So this is not like they're going around and playing some select flight teams that, you know, are good, but whatever. This is them going up against the top U.S. women's club teams that we have to offer and beating them, and usually in very close games. It's been super fun to watch so far. Tons of great talent on there. If you're not familiar, Sarah Melvin, Bex Forths. We've seen just overall some really great talent come over from the from Europe and get a chance to see them all come out and play. It's been a lot of fun to watch. They did lose. I was pretty surprised to see. Shout out to Raleigh Phoenix. This is a big result. They did lose to Phoenix. So Phoenix, the first team to hand the Eurostars a loss this year. The tour's not over yet either. They have a game this Thursday night in Boston, or just outside Boston. Definitely recommend checking it out. I will be there, actually. I will be there getting a chance to take it all in. Very excited to watch. It's been my first game watching in person for the Eurostars tour, so really looking forward to that. If you happen to be there, feel free to come over and say hello. Definitely always love meeting some people who listen to the show, but also anybody who's a fan of Ultimate. And then also they finish up the tour with a game against Nemesis on Sunday out in Chicago, and then Madison Heist on Tuesday, and that'll wrap up the Eurostars tour. Still, it's one of the great things that they do, and I think a really good introduction to European Ultimate in a lot of ways for those who are unfamiliar. Get a chance to see the stars of the European women's division take the field and compete against some of the best competition in the United States. So tons of fun to watch. Games will be streaming online as well. All the games that have been previously played are available on YouTube. So if you happen to miss out and you want to catch up, easy to do so. Definitely worth going to check out. One last international note, too, I'll add, because I just want to make sure I fit this one in there. Really, really cool. The Canadian Ultimate Championships were this past weekend, along with Elite Select Challenge. So that's why we saw Sixers and Iris and Furious George and Goat all competing up in Canada rather than down in the U.S. Shout out, congratulations to the Toronto Sixers and Vancouver Furious George for taking home national championships in Canada over Iris and Goat, respectively. Really, I you know, both games were great. Both those finals games were a ton of fun to watch. I really can't recommend enough watching that men's game, though. Great comeback from Furious George to take home the title. Sixers, it was a little bit more of a kind of secure thing. They were clearly the better team than Iris, and Iris is a great club, but Sixers is one of the best teams in the world right now. So definitely worth watching if you happen to miss out. That men's game, I'm telling you, is a ton of fun to watch. So overall, though, great, great time to be watching Ultimate, and even better time to be talking with one of the stars of the women's division, Carolyn Normile, joining the show right now. So make sure you stick around, stay tuned, and we'll have Carolyn in just a second. All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Ultimate Podcast. I am joined now by Carolyn Normile of DC Scandal. I'm still getting used to saying that after watching you play for AMP in Pittsburgh for so many years, but thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, really exciting season for you so far. It's been a lot of fun getting a chance to watch you play with Scandal this year, but before we dive into all of what you're doing right now, I want to know, how did you find the sport initially?
So in high school, I think I was looking to try a new sport. I'd played soccer for a while. I tried softball. I also played volleyball and kind of just wanted to try something new. So I went to an Ultimate practice with some friends and like immediately fell in love with the sport. It was just so much fun just chasing a disc. I'd never heard of Ultimate before, but it was just something new to try out. And luckily we had a high school team, so that's how I found it.
So you played in high school then?
Yes.
How many years did you play in high school?
All 4 years in high school. So
okay.
Played freshman year.
So you've been playing for a long time then?
Yeah, I think like 10 years at this point.
That's kind of crazy, considering the fact that you only graduated from college like a little over a year ago now. So how did that then transition for you? You know, it's rare, I feel like, that you get a player. It's becoming less and less rare, but it's rare that you get a player who comes into the college scene having played 4 years of high school Ultimate, and especially at a decent level, you know, coming in having that type of experience. How did that help you transition into playing at Pittsburgh?
I think throughout my high school experience, I was really lucky to be given some opportunities to play higher level Frisbee. So for example, I guess I had no idea what YCCs was when I was in high school. There was not a team in Philly. That didn't exist, but our coach happened to be friends with the Boston YCC team coach. And 1 year, I think this was right after my senior year of high school, our coach found out that the Boston YCC team, Buddha, needed some more girls to play with them. So a few of us from my high school team just decided to go and play with Buddha at YCCs. Which was completely random. Like, I had no idea what YCCs was at all, but ended up playing for Boston with like Angela Zhu and Tulsa Douglas, which is kind of crazy. But I think just having those experiences and opportunities where I was able to play more Frisbee, I always said yes to playing more Frisbee, and just kind of seeing what like the next level was and knowing that I liked competitive Ultimate helped me going to college at that level.
I didn't even think to ask you about YCCs. I'm from New Jersey originally. I know the area, and I knew that Philly didn't have a team for a number of years leading into eventually there was the Philly Forge mixed team, but I'm pretty sure that was after you were already out of high school. So that's a bit of a ringer for Boston to add, having you come up there and play with them. And that was a really good team, Tulsa Douglas and Angela Zhu. So, I mean, I know that you played with both of them then with the U24 teams. Is that where that relationship started? You get to know some of the community then and just trying to form that bond?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I knew who they were because our high school would play Amherst. We got invited to like the Amherst Invitational every year and always got crushed by Amherst. But so I knew who they were. And so it was just like kind of completely random, but a really, really awesome experience too.
That is something that I would never have guessed. You playing with Boston too, yeah. Especially. I feel like for Philadelphia, maybe I'm wrong here. I feel like Boston is like the enemy in a lot of ways. Like coming from that area, I'll do you one better as well. I went to Amherst Invite once when I was in high school and lost to the Amherst JVA team. So yeah, I know what it's like to get beat down by Amherst. That's an incredible program that, you know, Tino did such a great job building over the years there. And still just the one of the best, if not the best, high school program in the country. So I, again, really, Boston, I'm still having a tough time wrapping my head around that one. So that's a great experience then to bring into playing at Pittsburgh, where, I mean, you developed into one of the stars of the Women's College Division, Callahan finalist in 2018, made a great semis run. Just what was that experience like? You know, Pittsburgh is such a fun team. Danger is, I feel like, such a, like a loose and enjoyable group to watch playing. And you guys were certainly a lot of fun to watch when you made that semis run. That whole year was kind of fun to see an underdog team. And I know that kind of was the theme of that year at Nationals, where we had just the whole bracket was kind of messed up. But, you know, what was that like being the underdog there, despite the fact that you guys knew what you were capable of?
Yeah, I think kind of for 4 years, we didn't really achieve our goals for the majority of that. So I know my freshman year, our goal was to make it to Nationals, and that didn't happen. And then sophomore year, we got the second bid, and we made it to Nationals, and then we didn't make it out of pool play. Junior year, same thing, didn't make it out of pool play. Senior year, I think the same thing again. I don't really remember. And then fifth year, I think we just kept aiming really high because we knew we had a really talented team and we knew we could do more at nationals than what we had done in the previous years. But it was pretty tough to keep aiming so high after not really achieving your goals for the previous years. But having that run was just extremely special. And I think when people talk to me about that, there's kind of two different things that people will say. You'll either say like, oh wow, what a great run, getting to semis, or they'll be like, oh, that was really tough. You lost by 1 point. And I think it's definitely the appropriate reaction is the former, because, you know, we were just so grateful to be there in semifinals of college nationals. There were so many things leading up to that moment at semifinals of college nationals where we could have failed sooner, I guess. So we beat UBC on Universe Point. We beat Oregon in a tight game. We beat UNC. Like none of those things were really easy, you know? So it was game after game. It was really tough the entire way. So by the time we got to semis and lost by one, we were just so happy to have made it that far in the first place. We weren't sad. I mean, we were obviously sad, but still just so extremely happy to be in that moment too.
I think it just goes to show, losing by one in any game of Ultimate is difficult, but you guys went and showed up on a big stage, and there was never a point where it looked like you shrunk from the moment. You know, it seemed like Pittsburgh was ready to be there, even if you guys did not come out on top in this game. And I think that's something that every team wants to be able to walk away with, knowing that they went out there, gave their best effort, and even if they came up short, they can be proud of the performance they put out on the field. All right, so now I want to ask you a little bit. You started playing with AMP while you were in college. So playing with AMP throughout the course of your college career, but also really getting a chance to make a run and be on that national stage, 2017, the precursor to you guys eventually winning a title. How difficult is it for you as a player and then just being part of that team to come so close the year before on a team that legitimately had title aspirations and really it was a Universe Point loss? Well, you know, we talked about it before, but I felt like that one was different. You know, AMP was right there and felt like AMP could have won that game. Then you go back, you run through the regular season again, you come in as the top seed, you handle all the pressure that comes with that, and finally AMP breaks through, comes out on top, and does it against Mixtape, the team that beat them the year before. Obviously, it's that poetic ending that you get, but how difficult is it from a mindset perspective to stay focused on that goal throughout the course of the season?
Definitely, it's pretty difficult, and I think our goals throughout the season is always to keep aiming higher, to keep growing and learning in each game, in each tournament, so we're not really thinking about playing mixtape in finals at Club Nationals. We're thinking about this game right here, what can we do to learn and get high or get better and improve in this game right now. I think we don't know who we're gonna face at Club Nationals. I mean, I know when we got there, I was pretty excited that we were gonna be playing mixtape again. I think, like you said, it was kind of poetic to come back and play the same team, and I definitely wanted to play them. But leading up to that, we didn't know who we were gonna play. Obviously, it could be anyone, and we were prepared for anything. So.
Well, I will say, I was a little bit surprised at the margin of the score line. That was a blowout, and in no uncertain terms. Everyone expected that to be a close game, especially given what we saw in both semifinals the day before. You and Space Heater played really, really close. Mixtape played really close against Snake Country. I think the expectation was for there to be a really close finals game. It wasn't. What was the difference between that and the year before? Those teams were very similar. There wasn't a ton of change that happened. I know picking up Nikki Spiva, obviously a big addition, Sean Mott, several others that joined Philly for the year, but this was mostly the same core. This was Max Charles, this is Rahad Mosafari, this is Mike, you know, this is the whole entire team that has been there before. What's the difference then that allows you guys to go out and just blow out Mixtape in the national championship game?
I don't know if I really have an answer for that. I think we were just really, really focused. And I know my ultimate coach in high school would always say that ultimate is a game of runs. So I think when you're on a run, you just got to keep writing and expect for the tables to turn at any minute, and keep playing with that mindset and keep pushing until the very end of the game. And I guess the score just went up, and yeah, I don't really know what's different from that team or that game versus the year before, but yeah, I'm not really sure I have a good answer for that one.
No, that's fair. I mean, sometimes, you know, ultimate is a funny thing. We go in, we expect one thing to happen, but that's why we play the game, because you never know what the outcome might end up being. So this is a different now year for you coming in, and you get a chance now to play with DC Scandal. First of all, you're leaving the mixed club division, you're moving to the women's club division, and you're obviously changing cities again. I was shocked to learn, as you told me just before this, that DC is actually closer to Pittsburgh than Philadelphia is, which seems bizarre, but how much of that did weigh in, and what was kind of the other factors in this decision to go play Scandal this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm from Philly, so when I was in college, I was generally home in Philly for some portion of the summer, so that made it a lot easier to play with AMP. And then conveniently at my home in Philly, our practices for AMP were just 5 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So playing for AMP while going to Pitt and like coming home for some portion of the summer, really made it possible to play with AMP. And now I live in Pittsburgh full time. I started my job here last July. So commuting home to Philly, which is 4.5 hours, and I would be driving that alone, to play for AMP would be kind of tough. So that was a major factor in deciding to play for Scandal, because it's closer, it's 3.5, and there are other people in Pittsburgh who are also playing Scandal too. So driving together makes a huge difference. But yeah, really sad to leave AMP for sure, but it just made more sense logistically, and I'm super excited about the Scandal team as well.
Was it easier or was it harder to leave after winning a national championship with AMP?
Oh man, that's a good question. I know everyone wants like the repeat, but maybe it was a little bit easier because you kind of, you know, check that box off in a way. Really sad to leave such a good team, but I feel like we really accomplished something that I'm really proud of. And I was equally as proud the years before too, but you know, I have something really tangible from that year as well.
I think it would have been a lot harder for you to walk away had it been the year before, coming so close to winning with AMP. I won't speak for you, but I have a feeling that maybe that would have changed your decision-making process just a little bit.
Yeah.
I think there is something to be said about knowing that you accomplished something with that group and feeling like, you know, now it almost allowed you to be able to move on. I'm curious to know, though, you chose to go play with Scandal, which means that you switched from the mixed division to the women's division. Was there some thought process behind that? I know that, you know, the Space Heater, which was, you know, kind of the rivalry for AMP and Space Heater last year was intense. So maybe that was kind of ruled out, but was there anything else that, you know, kind of led you to go play in the women's division as opposed to staying in mixed?
I guess I didn't really think about mixed versus women's that much, kind of just like what teams I wanted to play for. So kind of, there's no better mixed team than AMP. So it would be a little tough to go to any other mixed team, I guess. But for Scandal is traditionally a really good, respected team with a great coach and great players. So I think I just wanted to play for that team in general, not really because it was women's. But.
Just because Scandal, I mean, this is a storied team. There's a lot of history to Scandal, and I, you know, I said it to you before, and I think this is true. Scandal is back in the title conversation this year. DC picking up a win at Pro Elite, going to the U.S. Open, and coming really close to making it to the final. Brute Squad getting in the way, but beating Fury in the process, so This is a new look Scandal team, and I feel like the expectations is a lot higher for this team than it was a year ago, where they it just felt like Scandal was on the outside looking in. Internally, is there a different feeling now at practice where you know, hey, we're really close, like we are definitely in the mix for this?
Yeah, I think it is a little bit different. I know in the beginning of the season, at least for myself, I didn't really have any expectations for this team. Like you said, I'd never played in the women's division before, so I kind of didn't really have a good gauge for how well, for how good of a team we were until Colorado Cup. And beating Molly Brown was really exciting. I mean, I've looked up to the players on Molly Brown, Fury, Fruit Squad, for a lot of years and never really knew how I would match up against those players. So playing with Scandal now and seeing how we do match up against them is really exciting. And I think it just helps bring in the focus a little bit more for the rest of the season. I'm really excited to put in more work with this team and see what we can do.
I think that the ceiling is a national championship. There's no question that that is on the table right now, given the level of play that you have showcased throughout the course of the season so far. How much fun is it playing with Robin Fennig, by the way? She has been a player I've enjoyed watching for the last couple of years, but joining Scandal with you this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super fun to play with Robin. I think she's one of those players where you can kind of just like lock eyes and you know that she's going to put the disc out to space and you can go get it and vice versa. Yeah, just having a connection where she can throw just about anything.
So, yeah, the next big tournament on the docket is going to be the Pro Championships back home in Philly. So how is that going to be for you? It's a homecoming of a sense, but you're playing with a different team this time around.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really exciting. I think I helped find housing for the team. You know, we're going to stay at my house and some other friends' houses, which is weird because if I was playing with AMP, obviously everyone would be staying at our own houses. Yeah, I'm really excited. We're going to have a lot of fans. And I know even though I'm playing with the DC team that a lot of my Philly friends are going to come out and watch too.
Sure. I mean, I think that's part of the fun of it, being in that area. And I know that while it's different, Philly and DC aren't that far apart. There's been a lot of overlap in recent years. I mean, we just saw last year Nikki Spiva coming to play with AMP with you and now going back and playing with Truck Stop in DC, the men's team there. So there's definitely, I think, some crossover between those two communities before. Daryl Stanley, another example, coming and playing. He was the coach of Citywide. Now he's coaching Truck Stop. So there's I think that overlap between those two communities, well, it's somewhat of a rivalry, but I think that it's a close-knit group. And that ultimate community is always willing to support no matter where you go, really. So with all of that in mind, this is, you know, a ton of driving that you're doing over the course of the season. I know you said it makes it a little bit easier there at your carpooling, but it's a ton of commitment. You have your job that you're working in Pittsburgh, and yet you seem to be just as devoted to this as you ever were. Why do you keep coming back to Ultimate? It's a ton of time. It's a ton of effort. And yet you seem like you love it just as much as you ever have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because in the beginning of the season when I was talking to the captains and the coaches on Scandal about playing for Scandal, and I was saying, yeah, I'm not really sure about the drive. Like, maybe could I miss a few weekends here and there because I don't want to be, like, driving every single weekend. And they were pretty understanding. They were like, yeah, like, we can work with your schedule. And since that, I've ended up coming to every single weekend. because it's just so much fun to be with the team and have those really good connections with my friends and making new friends and just playing a really good competitive sport and doing well too is super fun. So I guess it's really just, it's mostly the people why I keep coming back and why I want to go to practice every single weekend, just to spend more time with some really good people.
Yeah, I mean, I think there, even if it is just a practice, there is still very little that I can imagine that would be more fun than going and playing Ultimate on a weekend. So even the drive, it's all worth it in the end. So Carolyn, I thank you very much for taking the time to come talk to me. Best of luck. Looking forward to watching you play in Philadelphia at the Pro Championships. And then, of course, beyond that, high hopes for Scandal this year. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, everyone, that's going to do it for this interview. I'll be back to wrap up the show in just a minute. Stay tuned. So we just wrapped up talking to Carolyn Normile. Big thanks to her for coming on the show, taking some time to chat with us about everything that she's been doing this year. I had no idea that Washington, D.C. was in fact closer to Pittsburgh than Philadelphia was. So definitely learned a lot in this interview, but also had a lot of fun chatting with her about all the different experiences she's had playing the sport. So Carolyn, big thanks again for making some time to come on the show. Looking ahead to future episodes, don't have anything currently lined up. Hoping that maybe I'll be talking to one of the Eurostars once the tour wraps up, but nothing concrete to kind of suggest on that front right now. Still working on that one. Looking ahead, though, probably going to be doing an episode sometime just after the Pro Championships, before the series starts, getting a chance to really recap the whole club regular season heading into sectionals the following weekend. So very much looking forward to the series. Best time of year in Ultimate for the club division coming up very soon. Definitely a lot to be excited about. As always, if you're interested in following along with the show on social media, I'm on Twitter at The Ultimate Cast and on Facebook, The Ultimate Podcast. Always announcing shows and different things on there, as well as tweeting out some great stuff that I find about the Ultimate community or plays or whatnot throughout the course of the week. So definitely take a look there if you're interested in following along. Also, if you're looking to listen to the show or looking to listen to previous episodes, if this is your first time finding it, you can find the show on Stitcher, on Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify. Available in all of those places. Highly recommend getting one of those things as your go-to podcast platform. I personally use Stitcher, big fan. I think it's a lot of fun to use, very intuitive, and allows me to organize my podcast in a way that is easy for me to find and sort through. So I'm a big fan of that one. I'm a little, you know, that's my personal go-to. But if you happen to have an iPhone or any sort of Apple product, you already have that pre-built podcast app, which works very well. So highly recommend using one of those to get a chance to listen to all your podcasts. Feel free as well to rate and review the show. Always really appreciate when anybody is willing to do that. Means a lot to me. Also helps other people find the show, which is also very important. So love the fact that we get a chance to grow the show, mostly through people who are willing to go on and spend some time rating and reviewing it. Thank you everyone for supporting and listening. I really appreciate it as always. You guys will hear from me again soon.
Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at HolidayInn.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy, the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.